back to where I am standing, I may consider embracing them. But not God the Father, right? God the Father sees His Son, His child, from a distance, and He runs to meet him and embraces His lost son. Why not come home to that kind of love? Why not come home to a Father who has that kind of compassion when we don't deserve it? You know, I'm concerned about the fact that I'm convinced that for many, God wants them saved more than they want to be saved. That God has done more and more and more and has offered all. How much more could God offer? In John chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, a familiar text, Jesus doing the speaking, said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Can I stop? You probably understand this, but I want you to recognize something. Who's saying that? Jesus is saying that. Jesus is talking about Himself. He's the only begotten of the Father. He recognized what God was willing to give was Him. God the Father loved man enough. God the Father loved His creation enough that He would give me. That's what Jesus is saying. He would give me for your benefit. God gives His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Friends, condemnation does not come from God's side of the equation. Sometimes we get that wrong. God has established guidelines and rules and has said, if you transgress these things, you commit sin. If you go beyond these things that I have given you, then you are distancing yourself and you're not worthy of the inheritance of the kingdom of God. But we judge ourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Condemnation happens because of my choices and decisions. He said Jesus didn't come to condemn and say, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, and you're wrong. Jesus came to say, I want to save you, I want to save you, I want to save you. The Father wants salvation for the Son. And if you had any reservations whatsoever in your mind that God wants you saved, then just remember that He gave His only begotten Son for you and for me. The sacrifice that it took to bring that salvation to us. Romans chapter 5, verses 5 through 8 simply teaches us that yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For maybe for a righteous man, some would dare to die. A faithful man, peradventure, they might die. But he says, but Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners. In the most undeserving state we could find ourselves in the very state, remember earlier in the week, the only thing that disconnects us from God is sin. The only thing that separates us from God is sin. And so God says, you can't fix that problem on your own. You cannot address that problem on your own, so I'm going to give you my only begotten Son, and through Him, though you don't deserve it, and though you are still sinners, I'm going to let my Son die for you. That's how much God loves you. Jesus died for you. May I encourage you tonight to any time you talk about salvation that you personalize it? We sometimes say Jesus died on the cross for man. May I suggest that may be too general. In the sense that we don't appreciate how that has very specific connotation to me personally. Jesus didn't just die for man. He died for Brian. He died for you. He died in a very personal way. That's how much God the Father loves us. And God the Father wants us to find forgiveness. Can you imagine this Father after knowing what His Son has done? But His lost child has come home and He desires to forgive and cleanse. Remember, His Son said that I will go and tell my Father my sins and my transgressions. If you begin back in our text in Luke chapter 15 to read in verse 21. The Father runs out and throws His arms around Him and begins to kiss Him. And in verse 21, the Son says to Him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your Son. There have been days in my life where I was not worthy to be called the child of God. There have been days in my life because I have chosen to seek the paths of sin, because I have chosen to do that which God has forbidden, because I have made poor choices, I was not worthy to be called the child of God. And yet God is still willing to forgive and embrace and allow me to come back into the harmony and peace of his home. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, the text simply teaches us that if we are faithful to confess our sins before God, he is faithful to forgive us. May I suggest to you tonight, friends, that confession is very healing? You know, I think sometimes we're afraid of confession. We're afraid to acknowledge our transgressions and sins. And probably the reason for that is that there is sometimes stigma attached. If I admit I did that, then there are going to be some people sitting in pews who are going to think lesser of me. There are going to be some people that might find out that I didn't really want them to know about that. And so we stymie the concept of confession, and we're unwilling to acknowledge those things. Friends, confession is about me coming to terms with the failures and sins in my life so that I can change and turn from them. When I confess to God, I am not telling him anything that he doesn't already know. When you confess to God, this is not about me saying, Lord, I don't know whether you're aware of this or not, but the other day I did. That's not confession. Confession is not about trying to inform God of something. God is already knowledgeable of those things. Confession is about me coming to terms with what I have done so that I can get past it.